A recent study by the National Low Income Housing Coalition finds that for every 10 Maine families seeking affordable rental housing, there are fewer than 6 units available. Many of these households spend more than half of their income on housing and utilities. Some spend even more. They may qualify for housing assistance like Section 8, but there's often at least a 3-year wait. And as Susan Sharon reports in the latest installment of our series, Eviction, Life Unpacked, there are other barriers that can get in the way of help.
Where's the basket that her laundry was in?
It's late June, and Joy is packing up her family's belongings as her boyfriend carries furniture and other items out to a borrowed truck. He's taking it all to a rented storage unit. Joy and her 3 kids are being evicted from their Lewiston apartment, where they've lived for the past year.
Someone grab the door, please.
Where's that? She can move it by herself.
Oh, my God. Need your hand.
Several neighbors have dropped by, and Joy, whose real name has been changed to protect her privacy, is feeling stressed.
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting way too overwhelmed right now.
Joy says her eviction troubles started several months earlier when she and her boyfriend Kyle broke up. He was the primary breadwinner, and when he moved out, Joy fell behind in the rent. She owes the landlord nearly $2,500. The couple are living apart but trying to work things out. Joy has no car, and her driver's license is suspended for failing to pay a fine. That's made finding a job more challenging. It's also made apartment hunting harder, along with moving out. Her 2 older kids, ages 14 and 11, are visiting her ex. The youngest, Tori, has gathered up her library books and some toys.
I'm going to be 6 tomorrow.
That's another thing I'm just like, oh my God.
Wait, tomorrow's your birthday?
Yeah.
Guess I'm getting hamster.
When we get a new place, you're going to get a hamster.
That may not be for a while. The family has qualified for nearly $800 a month in general assistance from the state, but there isn't anything Joy can find to fit that budget. There are no 3 bedrooms available. So instead, Tori will spend her 6th birthday becoming homeless. It's the second time in 4 years.
I told myself it was the last time it was going to happen, and I just feel bad for letting down my kids and all that.
Joy says her older kids are angry at her for putting them in this position. Her son is supposed to start summer school, and the kids don't want to live in a shelter again. There's a curfew, no privacy, and no TV. The last time they were homeless, Joy says the shelter was her only option because she took too long trying to find a subsidized apartment and forfeited her Section 8 housing assistance.
I had asked for a 30-day extension, and they granted me it. And it was like 2 weeks after I was supposed to have found an apartment that I had asked for the extension, and I didn't realize that I only had 2 weeks to actually find an apartment, so I lost it.
With a Section 8 housing choice voucher, low-income tenants pay no more than 30% of their monthly income on rent. The federal government pays the rest. But evictions, a criminal record, and a history of drug and alcohol abuse can make it more difficult to qualify. Rental units in the program must be inspected and approved by a local housing authority, and the rent must be at or below fair market value, a number calculated by HUD each year for every metro area.
I think it would help to have more vouchers, yes.
James Dowling is the executive director of the Lewiston Housing Authority, which owns and operates 437 rental housing units and administers the Section 8 voucher program.
In the voucher waiting list, we currently have about 850 families on the list, and we typically give out issue to applicants on the waiting list about 120 vouchers a year.
But while those 120 vouchers are being issued, more names are also being added to the list. Dowling says there's a separate wait list for public housing, so families have to be resourceful to keep a roof over their heads.
They may double up with other families. They may live in smaller units than they need. They may move around looking for a place. If you have a car and you can get back and forth, you might be able to live out in the countryside somewhere in a less expensive unit, but there's no easy answer.
After getting evicted, Joy had planned to take her 3 kids to the emergency homeless shelter in Lewiston. But when she called, she got a recorded message saying that no beds were available for families. And then a friend in Joy's apartment complex offered to help.
Yeah, well, I can't stand to see them go into a shelter, so
I'm not going to let that happen. I told her I would do what I can to make it not happen.
By letting Joy and the kids stay with her, the friend is putting herself at risk of being evicted. It's now been a week, and Joy's friend is cooking them dinner. Joy chips in for groceries, but the two-bedroom apartment is crowded with six people and two cats. It's hot, and nerves are fraying, but Joy is grateful.
I mean, if I didn't have her right now, I honestly don't know what I would be doing. Like, I don't know.
Probably
like, I know that my...
DHS case open and...
Right, like, I would probably be going outside of a police station or somewhere and being like, look, I have nowhere to go. Like, where can I get help? Because I really don't know.
Joy has a case manager with Common Ties Mental Health Services in Lewiston who is trying to help Joy with housing and other needs. But Joy's life changes from day to day, and so do her options. After a falling out with her friend and neighbor who'd been putting them up, Joy and the kids headed south to Biddeford, where they are now living temporarily with the father of Joy's kids. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.